You'll see 11, 12, 13, 14 all start off the same. There is a generation. And doctrinally, the book of Proverbs focuses at the tribulation. And this would be a doctrinal description of the generation of people who live during the tribulation. And you will see some similarities with the generation of today. And so it's not real good. Verse 11, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Okay, that's more so really prevalent in a communist society where the kids turn, you know, the government turns the kids against their parents and everybody against everybody. Cursing their father and doth not bless their mother. And, of course, you see more and more of that today. And you can go on and start telling stories all over the place across this, you know, country where these things have happened, where a child has killed their parents, or something very sad has happened. Monday and Tuesday, there's a music college up in Schaumburg, and some of the folks went, and my wife went up there, and she was talking to, was the lady you sitting next? And this lady attends a church, I think in Iowa, and she said to Jan that her preacher preaches a lot on spiritual warfare. And Jan said, well, so is my husband lately. And then she said, well, because another preacher in Iowa had a very large church, and his daughter was sneaking out at night and going to like a witch's coven, and of course caused a lot of havoc in the house. And one night she pulled a gun out against her mother, and her mother and her is wrestling with the gun, and the gun went off and the girl died. And the mother was so devastated with it at that time, she turned around, shot herself, killed herself. And so obviously the pastor devastated himself, and he quit the church. Now he's a member at that other church that preaches on spiritual warfare. And they've both written books about it and stuff like that. Do they have any children left? One child? One daughter left. Can you imagine the tragedy involved with that? That's what unclean spirits, you know, get people to do. The end result is death or destruction in all cases. And the devil's not, he doesn't play fair. And so we need to understand these things. So verse 11, there's a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. Under the Old Testament covenant, the child that curses their father and smites their father or mother, according to Exodus 21, deserves a death sentence. Okay, verse 12, there is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, oh, Brother Mike, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Okay, so we see that evident today where sodomites will hold a sign up, you know, I'm gay and God loves me too. Okay, they're pure in their own eyes, but they're not washed from their filthiness. 13, there is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up, proud. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth and the needy from among men. Now, to devour, is that figurative, or can that be literal? You can go both ways on that, but there is quite a bit of evidence showing that that's literal. Okay, and so putting those four verses together, this generation, the evil generation, Jesus talked about a wicked and adulterous generation, seeketh after a sign. So then you hit all the charismatics. That's an automatic about charismatic movement. is because they're seeking for a sign, and the sign that they're seeking for all times is tongues. Tongues is a sign. Because they seek for that sign, you can mark it down that, generally speaking, they're going to be an adulterous and a wicked generation. If you just go to the churches and kind of get into the inner workings, you will see that that is absolutely true all across this country. Okay, so verse 11 to 14, a description of the religious generation preceding or during the tribulation. They're very, very religious. You know, religion Wade's brother had a funeral yesterday, and you talk about religion completely to the hill. Yeah. Yeah, Lutheran Church, the Holy Catholic Church, they even gave that testimony in there.
Yeah.
So they're supposed to get, you know, there's one point in the message you're supposed to give the church testify, and so it goes, you know, we believe in God the Father, blah, 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 we believe in God the Son. And I got to that one, and I said, we believe in God the Son, and this place is a real joke, you know. I said it kind of quietly, but I think Brother John heard it. And then one time I whispered over to Brother John, I said, let's stay standing, see how many we can get to stay standing during the service. Because you stand up, sit down, stand up. And so we were only two standing in the last three rows, and the lady looked back at us, and, well, she stayed standing because we were standing. And I mean, what are you going to do with this stuff?
They always stay
trying to confuse the whole situation. Lutheran, Martin Luther. Oh, if he was in the crowd, he would have kicked that guy out of there. But this crowd, verse 11, 12, 13, 14, this is going to be a religious crowd just like that one. Okay, so they curse their father and mother. They're pure in their own eyes. Oh, they're holy, you know. And proud, arrogant, verse 13. And verse 14, they will devour anybody who opposes them. Okay, now the word devour, if you go in the margins, Psalms 14, verse 4 says, have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge who eat up my people as they eat bread? Psalms 53, 4 is another one that says that. That's an identical, almost identical verse. Here's another psalm that I don't have in the margin because obviously you can run out of space for all of them. Psalm 79, verse 1 through 4. Psalm 79, verse 1 through 4. It says, O God, the heathen are come into thine inheritance. Thy holy temple have they defiled. They have laid Jerusalem on heaps. The dead bodies of thy servants have they given to be meat unto the fowls of the heaven, the flesh of thy saints unto the beasts of the earth. Their blood have they shed like water round about Jerusalem, and there is none to bury them. We are become a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and derision to them that are round about us. Okay, I have Amos 8, verse 4 and 6 in the middle, marginal. I'm thinking there's a better one in Micah, but this one will work too. There are more verses on this idea, this truth, than there is on church membership and baptism and tithing in the New Testament. Amos 8, verse 4. It says, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn? See, there's the religious thing. And the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and the falsifying the balances by deceit, so they're crooked in their business dealings. That we may buy the poor for silver, and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. Let's see, Joel chapter 3, back up in Amos. You can see, here's an example of them selling people particularly a little Jewish boy, a little Jewish girl during the tribulation, Joel chapter 3, verse 3. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Probably the clearest one is Micah. Micah chapter 3. These are in the minor prophets. The minor prophets write about the second coming more than anything. Micah chapter 3. This one is pretty clear. Verse 1. And I said, "Hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and ye princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment? Who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces as for the pot, as flesh within the cauldron." Now, where is this going to be done? It's going to be in a religious worship service. From Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. And they take the host. Of course, you know the Catholic Church pretends to do this every Sunday morning. And this Lutheran fellow was pretending to do it yesterday also. Turned the bread and the wine, you know, into the blood, you know, and then I'm thinking, man, you drink out of the same cup? You can either drink out of the same cup or dip it. I don't know if it was hot sauce or what it was. You know, I was tempted if it was hot sauce. What's that? I didn't see them. Did they wipe it around the cup? I wasn't watching. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's glove, so no germs. Isn't that amazing? Okay, Revelation 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar, that's the Jewish temple, the altar. It's going to be rebuilt, Revelation 11. The souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And, of course, we know that they're beheaded. Revelation 20, verse 4 says they're beheaded. Okay, and that's just a few of the verses you can run on that. And so, basically, the accepted worldwide religious service in the tribulation, you know, broadcast on Telstar and C-SPAN and everything, is the sacrifice of a Jewish evangelist at a Jewish temple, catch his blood, drink his blood, eat his flesh. And the world will think that they're doing God's service. Jesus said in John 16, verse 2, that there are people who will kill you and think that they're doing God's service. In the Inquisition, that's when the priest would have somebody with the post up there, and they got all the faggots around there, and that's the real meaning, the sticks around the thing, getting ready to torch it, and he holds up the monstrance with the wafer in it, and they say, "Do you believe this is my Lord and my God, or is this symbolic?" And if they say symbolic, they torch them. And they're killing a heretic. Okay, and in a tribulation, they will not only kill them, but they will eat them. Okay, and that's what the Catholic Church pretends to do in the Mass today. So that's quite a generation of people. The most adamant followers and the biggest promoters of the Antichrist will be professing Christians. They will be promoting him, and they will be encouraging the religious crowds to follow him intensely. And, of course, you know, the scriptures bear a lot of testimony for that. Thank God we're going to miss the fun. Verse 15, here's some more descriptions of them, okay? You have four verses, Proverbs 30, 11, 12, 13, 14, mentions the generation. Verse 15 gives more of a description of them. The horse leech hath two daughters crying, "Give, give." So these people are going to be parasites off of the poor and needy. Verse 14. They're going to take everything the poor and needy have. They can't hire a defense attorney. They can't do anything in court, so they got to defend themselves, and of course the system's going to be totally against them. And these parasites, these horse leeches, they're going to cry, give, give, give me, 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 taxes, more taxes, and more taxes. Okay, Hosea chapter 4, verse 18 reveals that again. Hosea 4, verse 18. Many of these things are found in the minor prophets, and as any bureaucrat who's a leech off the hardworking people of this country, as any parasite, a parasite does not think ahead and think, if I suck this dog dry, then my host is going to die and then I'm dead. They don't think like that. You know, the great encouragement I can give you is tax is going to keep increasing. I mean, ain't that great hope? I mean, they're not going to stop. They're not going to stop. Okay, Hosea 4, verse 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Okay, Ephraim, do you know what church claims to come from Ephraim? Okay, the Mormons. Ask any Mormon boy, ask them what tribe they're from, and they'll say Ephraim. And then it says, their drink is sour. They have committed whoredom continually. Her rulers with shame do love. Give ye. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Okay, that's for bureaucrats. And they're a leech or a parasite. Proverbs 30, verse 15. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. Number one, the grave. Isn't that amazing, the grave? It just never ceases, does it? Death is just constant. The grave. The barren womb. Okay, a woman in her natural state, she wants to give forth children. Now, if they're a reprobate, like a sodomite, then they don't care about that stuff. That's an unnatural affection. So the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not is enough. You know, a lot of the latest fires out west has caused a bunch of havoc. Some of those have been started by the people who are supposed to put out the fires. They make more money when they keep putting out the fires, you know, so they got to start them and get them going again. Okay, 17, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Okay, the way that a raven, when a raven comes up to a body, it will poke it in the eye, and if the eye flicks, you know, if the eyelash or the winks a little bit, then it knows the thing is not dead yet. So that's where it pokes, right in the eye. And, of course, a raven is a portrayal of something that is an unclean bird, and it's connected with hell. You find that in Isaiah 34, verse 11. We know that the first bird that Noah let out of the ark was a raven, and it never came back because it feasted on the dead bodies. Isaiah 34. Isaiah 34 is one of the chapters in the Bible that God wants everybody on earth to know. Saved or lost. There are some chapters, some passages in the Bible that are strictly aimed at Jews, some at Gentiles, some at Christians. This is one that's aimed at everybody. This is something the Lord would like to have broadcast all over the world. Verse 1, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, ye people. Let the earth hear, and all that therein, the world and all things that come forth of it. Okay, what's the Lord wanting to know? Verse 2, I'm mad. That's what he wants them to know. So I'm mad. I'm mad at the world. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Okay, and you see verse 3, we're going to cut them up. Verse 4, the host of heaven is going to be dissolved. There's the principalities of powers. He's going to destroy them also. Verse 5, the sword. Verse 6, the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. And notice where this is located at in verse 6. At the end of the verse, it says, "And a great slaughter in the land of Edomia." That's another name for Edom. Okay, Edomia is called Edom. You can run to Ezekiel 34:15 for that one. Maybe I have it in Bozrah, or maybe I have it in the footnotes. Oh, I got them all in the footnotes. Ezekiel 34. Am I reading the wrong place? Ezekiel 35, yes. Okay. Ezekiel 35:15. Some of them is in a footnote down there for Edomia. That's called Bozrah. If you go to Bozrah and cross-references, you'll see more there. And notice verse 7. The unicorn shall come, the bullocks, verse 7. Verse 8, it's called the day of the Lord's vengeance. Verse 9, and the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch, and the dust thereof into brimstone, and the land thereof shall become burning pitch. It shall not be quenched night nor day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. In the next verse, you have some unclean birds, and you'll see a raven's in there. Okay, what that is, it's south of the Dead Sea, and that place today, Jordan, and Saudi Arabia, and it's going to turn into an oozing, bubbling fire and brimstone like the in Yellowstone Park. They have like them sulfur springs, and they're real hot. Okay, so that's going to ooze up, come up, and hell is going to kind of come up through the earth crust and develop right there, and it's going to torch that whole area. And then in the millennium, somebody can walk by and see all this, so that'll be hell on earth. They'll get to see it, and they're in danger of being thrown in there bodily, according to Matthew 5, verse 29 and 30, where Jesus said, if your eye offends thee, pluck it out, for it's better to enter into life halt than to be cast into hellfire with your whole body. Okay, today when somebody goes to hell, it's their soul. Body goes to the grave, but in the millennium, they can be in danger of thrown in bodily. Okay, and the Lord wants everybody to know that. He wants everybody to know that he is going to torch the Edomites someday. He's going to torch them and their nation. Ezekiel 35, verse 11 says he's going to do that because of their envy towards the Jewish people. Okay, and so that's what the Lord wants everybody to know. That'd be a good Mideast peace talk, you know, bring that up, show that, you know, and the technoch, as they say. You know, get their Bibles out and say, looky here. That'd be quite interesting. Okay, but of course we know the apostate Jews are running it, and so they're just kind of in cahoots with them. Okay, verse 17, it says, Proverbs 30:17, the ravens in the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Those eagles and the unclean birds are mentioned over there in Revelation 19 at the end, from like 19, chapter 19, verse 18 to 21. Okay, verse 18, there be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not, the way of an eagle in the air, the way of a serpent upon a rock, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea, and the way of a man with a maid. Okay, so all those cover up their tracks, I guess you could say, or they don't leave anything following them. The way of a man with a maid, meaning sweet talk. The way of a serpent upon a rock, if you make that rock the word of God, like in Jeremiah 23:29, well, that says it's a hammer breaking a rock into pieces, but the rock there, you could make that a type of Christ too. And the thing that's phenomenal about Satan is how prevalent he uses the Bible for his work. I mean, in that Lutheran funeral, is 11 pages. You can just kind of go through it. And there'll be scripture all through there. All through there. Now, of course, it's a perverted scripture, but it's still got some scripture through there. And they'll quote this and quote that and quote this, you know, from the Bible or read it from something. And it's amazing how the devil will use that Bible. Luke 4, verse 10, 11, of course, we know that he will misquote that Bible. He leaves a phrase out here, you know, adds a word here. Just a very subtle thing. Verse 20, such is the way of an adulterous woman. So she's in comparison to the other four in verse 19. The adulterous woman is a religious church. Okay, according to Revelation 17, 1 through 6. It's a portrayal of the Catholic Church. Such is the way of an adulterous woman. If you read anything about the Catholic Church in the past, it's just phenomenal what they pass off. You can read Alex Hislop's. He's got a book called Two Babylons. Got some good info. Ralph Woodrow has a simplified book of Two Babylons. Got more pictures in there. I kind of like the pictures in there. And then you have Charles Chiniquay was a converted Roman Catholic priest. He wrote one about the woman, the priest, and the confessional. And he shows how they, you know, kind of blackmail people through the confessional and everything. And there's a couple others. You can get most of that stuff from Chick Publications out there in California. And to appraise yourself of this history. And then in order to work on a Catholic, if you're going to talk to him, there's a guy named Lambert that wrote a little booklet. It's Catholicism Against Itself. And so he quotes nothing but Catholic material, showing that Catholic material speaks against the Catholic Church. Martin Luther's testimony is quite interesting to read, where Martin Luther, as a Roman Catholic priest or a monk, was looking forward to go to Rome because, you know, Rome is God's city on earth. And as he approached into Rome, he thought, paradise on earth. But then he goes into Rome and he says this is as close to hell as anything in the world because he sees what's going on in Rome. And then from then on, he would address the Pope as your most hellishness or your most holy hellish father. You know, real kind person. But that was a great reformer, Martin Luther. You know, Lutheran preachers don't do that today. Okay, so verse 20, such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I have done no wickedness. Verse 21, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. So the earth, as animals at time, get real quiet when things go on, when things are happening, they quiet down. When a storm is coming, they act a little different behavior. When acts of God in nature are coming, animals will behave differently. And so the animals will behave differently when they see certain events. The Bible says over there in Leviticus that the earth vomiteth out its inhabitants. Mother Nature, you know, shall we say, the creation, when, you know, a queer parade comes down the street, the earth underneath the blacktop says, this is pukey, this is sick. That's what the earth is saying. The earth, and, you know, see, what it does, the earth gets an upset stomach in those areas, and that's why the earthquake's taking place out there in California in that area. And you see, and the earth don't like this. It's a shame to it. And so it says, here's some of the, four of the things. The three things the earth disquieted, for four which it cannot bear, for a servant when he reigneth. What kind of a servant? What color be his skin, that servant? Run the cross references of Genesis 9, and he be quite tanned. And when a Hamite runs a nation, you're going to find a Hamite killing the blacks as Idi Amin. It's not their place. That's what the Bible teaches. For a servant, when he reigneth, he's going to be killing them right and left. And so the Antichrist is probably going to have some Hamitic blood in him. And when he runs a show, it is going to be a mess. and they like to call themselves king. You know, Martin Luther King, and that King Cole, you know, King Cassius, and all that stuff. And that's the thing where the earth says, oh, we've got a mess coming here. Now, you know, that's a general rule. It's not a hard, fast rule. You'll have some good black men like Booker T. Washington, Walter Williams. Put him in charge. I'd put him up there. He'd do better than what's going, you know, all these others. Walter Williams wrote one about, there's a book came out about Abe Lincoln, and it exposes Abe Lincoln for the hypocrite that what he was, and Walter Williams wrote the foreword to the book, which is a real blessing. You say, where'd you come across that book? Well, over there in Austria, Nico Verhoef had it on his shelf in his library. He has some pretty good books over there. Okay, so there's a servant, a fool when he is filled with meat. That's something that quiets the earth. For an odious woman when she is married, and a handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Okay, and type, who's that picture of? Cross-reference, Genesis 16. Do you remember who that is? Sarah and Hagar. And there's the Middle East problems. Hagar, that's the handmaid that is heir to her mistress. And she gives birth to a son who's a wild man, and he is against every man, and every man's against him. Genesis 16:12. Now, if that isn't the descriptions of the Arabs, I don't know what is. I just got a newsletter from Peter Hammond, and he's not a Bible believer, but boy, he sure gets into the action. And he just was up in Ireland, and there's a old-time preacher up in Ireland still going at it. He's actually in Ulster. Ulster is the name of the nation. And man, he was kind of reporting about what was going on up there. And Ian Paisley, he's still going at it up there. The news media tries to make Ian Paisley look bad, but in Ulster, he's pretty popular. Presbyterian preacher that has a strong political hold up there. And he's got some good stuff going on. And so Peter Hammond was up in that area. It seems like this guy just goes from one fight to the next. You know, now he's going back down in Africa where all the Muslims are fighting. This guy's been threatened time and time again. And so I got him scheduled for September 1st on a Thursday night where he just hopefully gives slides, a couple hours of what he's seen and experienced. And even though he's probably not a Bible believer, just to get the news from somebody there, a missionary like him, would be educational, be very good for us. Okay, so that's 23:24. It says there before things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Okay, so we can learn from these animals here. And in Job 12, Job said, you know, that the animals can teach us. In Job 12, like verse 7 and 8, he said this, but ask now the beast, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Now, Gothard has, Bill Gothard and ATIA, they have three books called Character Sketches. And they'll have some artistry on certain animals. They'll pick a certain trait, and then they'll have an animal that displays that trait, and then it has a Bible story that goes with it. It's got some real good information in there. Okay, and that's what this is doing. This is not worshiping nature. It's learning from the creation that God has given us. Verse 25, the ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. So, watch the ants for a while. And they are hard workers. You know, I got some ants that was in a little crack in my driveway, you know, and so I just took my shop vac and I started sucking them all in there. And I was wondering, what was on the ants news broadcast that night? You know, strange vacuum sucked all these ants out of there, you know. I was wondering, what's going on, huh? Yeah, it is a rapture. Ant rapture. You know, but you know, as ants, they just keep right on going. If you mess up their little mound, they just fix it right back up. Hard workers, they prepare. The ants are prepared people, prepared animals. Ants are people not strong. Well, they are strong, though. You know, for their size, they're very strong. But yet, as a human, you can, you know, just, so they're not strong in that way. Yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And the idea is to get prepared. In an agriculture society, they understand this a little more. You know, city folks are too used to having meal, you know, a refrigerator where you could survive for a week. You know, but if the truck started to stop running in our country, if this truck stopped running, we are on a 21-day supply max in America. Within 30 days in an inner city, you would see people who would think they're starving to death. Of course, you know, about this big around, they could go on for 6 months, but they would think they're starving to death. Okay, but even at that, you would have some people starving to death in 30 days. America, they got America on a 21-day about a limit, maybe even down to 14 now, but the truck stopped running. And, you know, in agriculture society, where in agriculture, you got to live from year to year. You got to plan year and year, set aside for a year. And that's good training for people. And I would dare say you need to have a food supply on hand that if a storm shuts off your electricity, then you can just stay home and enjoy the time off. Just go down in the basement, you got your water, your barrels of water down there, you got some food down there. And if you want to go out and enjoy the snow a little bit, go out and enjoy it and help somebody get out of a ditch or something like that. But it's not that you have to. And Americans need to be prepared, and they're not prepared. People in communist countries, they understand this a little bit more. Okay, and so ants are prepared. They're very wise, very wise. Then 626, you got conies or cunnies or bunnies. Or I don't know what that is. It looks like it's a bunny rabbit. Okay, then 27, you got locusts, 28 spiders. Does the tape go off?
No.
Okay, I thought it did. Okay, 26, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. Okay, so we set our foundation upon the rock, Jesus Christ. But you can see that they got shelters in the earth, in the rocks. Very wise, cool, naturally cool. Verse 27, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. So the locusts are, they cooperate with each other and they work together. 29, the spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king palaces. So she works with her hands. And no matter what you hear, Heidi works for folks that are animal lovers or nature lovers or something like that. And she will take her broom and, you know, take all the spider webs down and take the broom outside. And you don't want to kill any of the spiders. And she feels bad because the mice have been eating some of the food and they don't want to kill the mice, you know. I mean, just... That's a pretty consistent animal rights person, you know, pretty close. But I guarantee you, though, you know, these kind of folks, if you get talking to them and reason with them, you just ask them, here's how I would handle them. Do you think humans are animals? Well, yeah, we evolved from animals. Oh, okay. If you saw a dead human alongside a road, got hit by a car, and nobody's doing anything, would you call the police to investigate? Why, certainly. If you see a dead skunk or a deer or a rabbit or a possum alongside the road, would you call the police to investigate? What would I do that for? Oh, I thought we were the same. You see, but they're very inconsistent, you know, people like that. But, you know, I won't want to say on tape what Heidi does with the spiders because that might get back to somebody and it might offend them. So... Squish, you know, 28. Okay, we'll stop there at 28 and go a little further next time. Any questions, comments, or we covered?